The Utah Jazz get to see old friends Rodney Hood and Alec Burks and blow them off the court. That's the Jazz blow out the Cavaliers 117-91. It took a little longer than you might have liked, but they got it done. We'll talk about it coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by the store at 6200 South and 20th East. Stop by, get your football snacks and fun things. The barbecue chicken in the back, the meat over in the back section. You'll really love it. All well done there at the store, the local feel of your community grocery store. All right, Ron, so it is a one-point deficit at the half, 49-48. I'm honestly a little concerned. I do not know a 69-42 second half is coming at that point. What switched around?
Well, basically, I just thought, first of all, the Jazz start making some shots. The defense started to pick up, and obviously Rudy Gobert was just unbelievable protecting the basket. But I thought the defense improved. And when that improves, the scoring starts. And then you start looking at your scorebook and what players actually started to put the ball in the basket. Ricky Rubio started to make some things happen. Ricky Rubio in that second, in that third period, got a three-pointer. He scored 6 points in that third period. He got going. Donovan Mitchell started to get going. And that just starts to filter into the other players there as well. And this is the ball game they had to take advantage of, and I'm glad they finished strong going away against a team like this.
Back up Ron's point, they only took 23 shots at the rim the entire night because Rudy Gobert was there, and then they went 13 of 23 on those shots. We take it for granted. It is just an incredible thing to watch, the amount of people that peel out, don't get the shot they want, or think better of it. It's almost progressive. It's like the night starts and Tristan Thompson tries to see what he can do against Rudy Gobert to prove himself, and then he gets two shots blocked and he just doesn't do it anymore. And Jordan Clarkson attacks and then he doesn't do it. It's as though, I'd love to look at like what by quarter how many shots are taken at the rim, because it feels as though teams are less and less willing to attack Rudy Gobert.
You know, once you know a shot blocker is back there, a rim protector, a guy like Rudy Gobert is back there, now you're driving the lane, there's a few things going through your mind. You make sure that you have a clear shot, what kind of shot I'm going to be able to shoot. And most of the times, it's not the one you really want to shoot. Most of the time is one trying to make sure you get over its fingertips and things like that. And that's just not very comfortable. If you don't, you're going to get it blocked. Now, someone like Alec Burks, who knows Rudy very, very well, he got a chance to get to the basket and score because he took it right at Rudy, went up Rudy's chest, make sure there was contact before, you know, he was able to finish. And he's a pretty good rim finisher, I think. But he was able to do that. But, you know, you're always worried, I mean, where is he and what angle is he coming from?
Ron, I've been beating this drum, and it's probably obnoxious to people, but this is a bad team. There are 9 teams in the league that are less good than everyone else statistically. We have played 3 games against them, Orlando and Mexico City. We blew out the Knicks. We blew out the Cavaliers. How different would we feel about our first 39 games? Let me make sure this is clear. In the course of the season, we will play 20 games against those 9 teams, 16 against the 8 Eastern Conference. So if we had done what we should have done at this point, which is played 9 or 10 of them instead of having played 3, how would we feel differently about ourselves?
Yeah, this is an argument that I think we can have, and I really like your point. Most teams, when they start the season off, you know, you really don't, and especially with coaches and you have different players on your team, really don't know what you have a lot of times or what players play well together. There's a learning curve there for players and coaches and things like that. So some coaches would like to think that they would like to have a little easier schedule to build themselves into the type of thing that they want to be the second half of the season. Now the Jazz have done a one heck of a job of with a rough schedule going into the second half of the season, and things should lighten up a little bit. So to your point, I think I would rather have a little easier schedule, not as easy as some teams have had it right now, but give yourself a chance to put some wins under your belt. Perfect example. The Jazz, even with Karl Malone and John Stockton and those guys, I mean, we always had a very good month of November. Great month. Now teams are playing uphill trying to catch you because you've gotten off to a good start. But to your point, it just depends on what the coach is like. And we both know that it's awfully difficult both ways. But the Jazz now are in a great position because they've been able to survive. I think, you know, 19 wins at surviving with this schedule, it's great. It's absolutely great. Now it's up to them to go ahead and finish strong.
And you got to get tomorrow. We got 15 more games against not very good teams.
Right.
One of them's Detroit. They're the best of the not very good teams, but you got to beat them.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell tonight goes 7 of 12. He only takes 12 shots, scores 18 points. He's very efficient. He was very calm. He only turned it over once. What did you see about his game, and is that something he can do most nights, or is he going to have to go back to taking 20 shots?
I didn't think he played fast. I thought he played a little bit different pace than what we've seen. I mean, there's been some times when he's forced shots, and we're just strictly talking offense. You know, defense takes care of itself. We're just strictly talking offense. In the past, we've seen him force shots, get into the air with nowhere to go, driving into traffic, trying to be intuitive. Now, is that the right word for someone that's you go up to shoot and you don't know what you're going to do because you're waiting on the defense to commit? And then you have to decide, you know, and you get yourself in trouble. So I think I didn't see that tonight. I saw one time he drove into the lane there, but he ended up getting rid of the basketball when the defense collapsed on him. But I think his pace is slow. I don't know if Johnny Bryan has slowed him down a little bit. Remember how they tried to slow Alec Burks down because he was playing a little bit too fast? Maybe that's something that they've been talking to Donovan Mitchell about.
Jazz blow out the Cavaliers 117-91. We'll play Detroit tomorrow. Thanks very much for tuning in to Postcast. Hope you enjoyed the game. And we'll be back with you after the ball game, before the game on Facebook tomorrow, Utah Jazz Facebook account, and then here on Postcast afterwards. Have a great day.